You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, winner of the ShareCare Emmy Award for Social Storytelling and the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today we're going to continue with a series about assessments. So we've got dynamic assessments and static assessments, and I find more value in the dynamic assessments than I do static assessments, but I think they both have their place, and it gives us just a little understanding about people and their movement and their posture. And some of the things that we can identify, especially with movement, is doing an assessment allows us to know in advance what an exercise might look like. So when we do overhead squat assessment, it's nice because that allows us to see things prior to putting any weight on somebody and doing a loaded exercise. And today we're going to be talking about knee valgus or knock knees. And certainly I get somebody that has knee valgus or knock knees. I don't want them squatting under load with that position. Now, is this an immediate and automatic knee explosion? The joints just pop, the ligaments come apart, everything just, no, but there is a wear and tear that can happen. This is a contraindication or a warning sign, but it also shows that there's probably some weakness somewhere that is limiting our ability to move appropriately. Now, there's mobility issues as well. There's some neurological things that are going on. We're just like movement patterns. Sometimes it's simply cueing. And I think a lot of times as we go and start looking at movement, rather than cueing somebody out of it, which I don't want to cue somebody when I'm doing an assessment initially, but after I'm done, then I'll say, can you do it again? This is what I saw. Can you just keep your knees from knocking together? And if they can, then that probably just need to cue them instead of writing an entire corrective exercise program for somebody whose knees knocked. Maybe they didn't know that they were doing that. And I have a client I train regularly, and she does great. But every once in a while, her knees just start knocking when she squats. And I say, your knees are knocking. Make sure you get your knees out, away from your big toe. So they should be lined up center of the foot. And she immediately fixes it, and we're good. Now, that does give me pause and think, okay, is this something that if I continually cue this, is there something going on there that as she starts to fatigue, she goes into this valgus position? So rather than the glutes jumping in and taking a large part of it and the hamstrings doing what they need to do, maybe the adductor magnus is doing a little extra and she adducts just to try to get a little more dominance out of that muscle group, which I may or may not want, but I don't want her in a valgus position. So in this, we look at the textbook. So I'm in the CPT-7 textbook, and this is the appendix on page 811. So if you want to join me in the appendix 811, this is what we're doing for the next couple weeks. And we started it last week. We're going to continue doing it, where we go through these dynamic postural assessments, and then we'll wrap at the end in the last couple of weeks with the static postural assessment. So right now we're talking about knee valgus. So this is from an anterior view. When you watch the overhead squat assessment and they are squatting, last week we went over feet turnout. So now we're looking at the knees knocking or valgus. And if you look there from an anterior view, those are the only two things we're looking at. We're looking to see if the feet turn out. We're looking to see if what the knees are doing so they can bow out or they can knock in. Well, if they go into a valgus, which is our biggest concern, that's why it's the only one that's in the list here, then you'll see the overactive muscles are the TFL and the adductor complex. Well, why? Why are those muscles listed there? Well, if you think about it, if I am in a closed chain position, which means my feet are on the ground. If I pick my feet up off the ground or a foot off, that open chain, when I put my foot down, that is a closed chain. So both of my feet are on the ground. I'm in a closed chain position, which means if my feet are planted, they're pointed straight ahead, then if I just stay in that position and I adduct my knees, There is, first of all, it puts a lot of strain if your knees are straight. If your knees bend, then that gives you a lot more mobility and the gives you an option to adduct without with a little less strain on the knee. So when the knees knock, the adductors adduct. They bring the feet together. They are the main muscles to adduct. Now the TFL, on the other hand, the TFL's got a lot on its plate. The TFL can do a lot of things. So when we look at what the options are for the TFL, think about this. The TFL, let's go all three planes of motion and let's just go through it, what that muscle does and why it's indicated in this particular movement. So the TFL in the frontal plane abducts. It moves the hip into abduction. Well, that's weird because the adductors adduct and they're part of the problem in valgus, knee valgus. So why would a muscle that goes into abduction be a problem in valgus? That's a good question. So let's keep going. It also is a hip flexor. Not a strong hip flexor. It's not a strong muscle in general, but it's not a strong hip flexor. But when it's done, when it works together with other hip flexors, then it's very important. It can be very helpful for people sprinting because it does so many things in all three planes of motion. It's very good at helping to control movement through all planes of motion. Sometimes it's a mover in one plane while it's a stabilizer in another plane. So it does provide value for us. But the last one it does is especially when you look here in a closed chain and open the chain, it does it too, but it is an internal rotator. It internally rotates the hip. And so if I'm in a closed chain and I internally rotate the hip, then I go into adduction. If for my adductors, if I adduct in a closed chain, then I will also internally rotate. So those two things work together. And they lead to knee valgus as we go into a squat. So the adduct, and there can be other things that are going on too, but this is just what we're addressing in the CPT-7. Of course, you get into the corrective exercise, you get a little bit deeper, and then there's far more depth than what we even talk about. We're just going to deal with basically what we do as personal trainers and what we can address. So let's look at those two muscles. We got the adductors, the whole adductor complex, and the TFL. Great. Those are the overactive muscles. And we identified why. So my adductors adduct, knock my knees. The TFL is a big internal rotator. So if I go into internal rotation, it will knock my knees together also. Well, now let's look at the chart next to it where it says underactive muscles. So in the underactive muscles on page 811 in your CPT-7, look at it. It says knee valgus. Underactive muscles are the gluteus maximus and gluteus medius. Well, let's talk about why that could be. Now, I think it's important to point out the joint actions of those muscles, the gluteus maximus and gluteus medius. What they do to combat knee valgus, they both abduct and they also laterally or externally rotate the hip. Well, if valgus is adduction internal rotation, then those two muscles, abduction external rotation, are the ones that should be stopping valgus. But there's something off there that is allowing valgus to happen. So at the hip, we'd look at glute medius and glute maximus. But there's a problem. Knee things are not knee things usually. Problems with knees are not problems with knees usually. Problems with knees are either problems with the hip, problems with the foot and ankle, or problems with both the hip and the foot and ankle. Now, this doesn't mean that knee issues don't arise because the knee itself, and that can happen through trauma. So somebody gets hurt, somebody gets slide tackled, somebody gets kicked, somebody gets tackled in general, whatever it is that they're playing, there's a contact situation that takes place. Even non-contact stuff, but non-contact stuff tend to be issues at the foot and ankle and the hip. and the knee just kind of gets stuck in the middle. And so that's things like when we stop and change directions, and instead of pivoting on the ball of our foot, we plant and turn, and that's ACL tear, right? Or something similar, something within that vein. So here's what we look at. Just through movement assessment, I'm going to look at my knees knocking together. Short, tight, overactive muscles potentially are going to be the adductors and TFL. The muscles to combat at the hip, to combat knee valgus, are glute medius and glute maximus. But you'll also see in the chart here, there's anterior and posterior tibialis. All right, so why is there an anterior posterior tibialis as part of a knee issue when that's foot and ankle? Well, why is there muscles at the hip when it comes to the knee? That's because the knee is stuck in between two very long levers, and whatever muscles control the hips and control the foot and ankle control what happens at the knee. And so what we tend to see is that, for instance, eversion or pronation. Pronation is a very common thing. You'll hear the common statement of pronation. You pronate. Most people say you pronate and they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know what that is. What is pronate? Pronate is a sequential combination of dorsiflexion, abduction, and eversion at the foot and ankle complex. And so when you start to squat down, the shins translate forward. That puts us into dorsiflexion. As we dorsiflex, let's say we're limited in dorsiflexion, we start to cheat in ranges of motion. So as the foot flattens, that's eversion. As the feet turn out, that's abduction. So, and that could be abduction at the foot and ankle. That could be external rotation at the knee joint itself, also facilitating even greater valgus. So what do we have? We've got two muscles that help to stabilize the foot and ankle and help us move. So one is the anterior tibialis, which allows us to practice dorsiflexion and inversion. And the posterior tibialis, which is plantar flexion and inversion, both of which support us in inversion, which means if I keep everting, then it's potential that those two muscles are not strong enough to limit, to stop eversion. My inverters are not strong enough to stop or decelerate eversion. So that's why those muscles are listed in the potential. Remember, these are all potential. This isn't the answer. It might be the answers on the test, but it doesn't mean that this is the end all be all. These are just the potential movement assessments that we're looking at that you can address as a certified personal trainer. And as you learn more, you can get deeper into it and get a stronger grasp of what goes on in the human movement system. So what do? Well, we go back to that list and we say, all right, well, let's take the TFL and let's take the adductor complex. And we might want to do two things. First thing, foam roll, some type of ischemic pressure, putting some pressure into it, getting those muscles to relax. Once we do that, then we can stretch those muscles. After the stretching of the muscle, this is the corrective exercise continuum, by the way. So, and even though this is the CPT7, the corrective exercise continuum will go deeper into what these potentials are, but we're just talking about this right now. So foam roll and stretch those short, tight, overactive muscles, And then you're going to go to the underactive muscles. And those are the ones you're going to do some exercises for. So glute maximus, glute medius, what are some exercises you could do for those? You could do the mini loops. I like to do a mini loop around the knees. Some people like to do it around the foot and ankle. But you got to be careful here, because as you do potential like sidestepping side to side, and you see somebody with knee valgus and they start doing the sidestepping, ask them where they feel it. Chances are they're going to point at the TFL. So it's very good for us to inhibit and stretch the TFL. So that muscle is now a bit more quiet. That muscle is not producing as much activity because we've stuck a foam roller in it or some type of of massage ball into the area and got it to calm down. Then we stretched it. So now the glute medius is like, I guess I'll step up, since the person usually doing it may, and these are all potentials. It's not always the case, but we do it in case. And then I could do the abductions, the sidestep touch for my abductors, my glute medius. You can keep that loop on and maybe go into a bridge position, lowering and lifting the hips. And so that way, when I abduct my knees, and when I do these in particular, I'll keep the feet pointed straight ahead, but I have my clients abduct out where their knees are kind of pointing at their pinky toes. That gives us a little extra abduction. That puts the glute medius at a little more attention. And then as you go up into hip extension, as you lift into the bridge, the glute max is also going to work a little bit better too, because it also is an abductor in the frontal plane. So they lower the hips and lift the hips, mini loop around the knees, working the glute medius and the glute maximus. There are other exercises that you can do. Clamshells are very popular. Sometimes I do a 90-90 clamshell where my hips are bent at 90, knees are bent at 90, and then I straighten my hips out. So my hips and torso are in a straight line, only my knees are bent. And I'll go again, just doing leg lifts, leg side lifts with external rotation as I get to the top while pushing my heel back against a wall, giving me a little extra extension force. All of these things are great exercises that you can utilize in order to help with this. And then what happens? All right, cool. So I've done my inhibition, my stretching, my isolated activation. And you can do those isolated activations with your anterior posterior tib as well. So you can do just heels down and do foot raises. So the ball of your foot comes up. You can do isolated exercises where you just use a band and maybe tie it off on the leg of a chair, a piece of equipment, and dorsiflex against that band. And then an invert. And I think it's really important, not just a dorsiflex. A lot of times we dorsiflex an evert, but we already go into eversion and set examples. So I want to invert my foot and ankle. And I can do that while plantar flexing or dorsiflexing. If I plantar flex, works the anterior tib. If I invert and plantar flex, it works the posterior tib. If I invert and dorsiflex, it works the anterior tibialis. Now I can say, all right, let's go and do some squats, or let me see your overhead squat again, and maybe go for repetitions this time. And as that movement looks cleaner, it looks smoother. And if not, maybe put that loop back around the knees and have them do the squats with the loop around the knees. Watch them push out against the valgus force, because the loop is pushing them into valgus. So you're actively pulling out of it. Do some reps there. Take the loop off, squat again, see if that helps to fix the squat. That's a great warm-up for people who have knee valgus, that we want to move them out of it and start rehearsing patterns that get them out of that knock-kneed position. All right, that's it. That's all we're going to talk about today for knee valgus or knock-knee. I hope you found it helpful. Check out that chart on page 810 of your CPT 7 textbook. If you got questions, of course, you can reach out to me. Hit me up on Instagram or Threads at dr.rickritchie, or email me rick.ritchie@nasm.org. Y'all, thanks for listening. Keep inspiring people to fitness. This has been the NASM CPT Podcast.